ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
In the Greek New Testament, the word Israel occurs more than 60 times. However, it is found only once in the New Danish version called Biblian 2020. That's right, just once. And that one occurrence is a direct quote from an Old Testament verse, otherwise Israel is gone. The reason for this, the society argues, is that Christian readers must not connect Israel in the New Testament with the nation of Israel today. The ELCA has long promoted the idea of replacement theology, also called suppressionism, which essentially teaches that the church has replaced Israel in God's plan. Adherents of replacement theology believe the Jews are no longer God's chosen people, and God does not have specific future plans for the nation of Israel. I think Jesus said it correctly to the Jewish religious leaders. Have you not read? Have you not read what the Scripture says? Jesus promised the Jewish people that there will be the Messiah sitting on the throne of David, ruling and reigning. Has that happened? No. There is still the 70th week of Daniel that needs to be completed, the last seven-year period. We call it the tribulation period, which, again, we'll be looking at as we continue on in our study. Paul said in Romans, I don't want you to be ignorant. About what? About the Jewish people, that God's done with them. He is not done with them. All Israel will be saved when he takes away their sin. How does he take away the sins of the Jews? Just like he takes away our sin. Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That means they turn to the Messiah during this period of time. The 144,000 Jewish witnesses that are sealed by God. Are they Jewish? Of course they are. God goes to great detail to show us that they come from the 12 tribes of Israel. He lists each one so we don't get it wrong. But again, when you start departing from the faith and you don't allow your people to search the Scriptures, you can believe anything. And there is a danger. What was started out as a move of God has now become dead. And that's a tragedy. And we all have to be careful, because that can happen so easily, gradually over time. And look how far they're moving away. The Protestant church is embracing the Roman Catholic Church today. Who would have thought that? Remember, the Protestant Reformation, all the people that were put to death for their faith by the Roman Catholic Church. Now we're saying the Reformation went too far. Really? So now we're embracing a salvation through Jesus and good works. That's not what Jesus said. By the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. No flesh. Why are we embracing this? Because there is coming a one-world religion. And all the religions of the world are going to come together. And we will again see that as we get farther into Revelation. Any move of God can turn into a stone when it becomes rigid in tradition and unyielding to the Holy Spirit. And that's what's happening here. I always want to be open to what God wants to do. You know, it's probably been, we've done 10 vacation Bible schools, so 11 years, because we didn't do one last year. So 11 years ago, when I retired from being a nurse, God put it upon my heart to start vacation Bible school. I'm not really good at, you know, singing and doing all the hand motion stuff, and God was stretching me. I'm still doing it. I'm like, Lord, isn't there anyone else that could do it? And it's always me. And for whatever reason, the kids love attacking me with water sponges. It's probably the funnest thing. Kids who weren't even here, they knew about it. I can't wait to get you with the water sponge. Really? You were never here? How do you even know what that's about? It's exciting. And they learn about Jesus. And I always want, Lord, what do you want to do? Okay, that's not my comfort zone. Okay, but I'll do it because there's a need. And he keeps putting me in there. And okay, Lord, I'll keep doing it. I want to be open to what the Spirit is showing me. I want to be open as I'm teaching the Word of God to what the Holy Spirit is showing me. So I can share that with you. All right, we will finish this letter up, believe me. Look at verse 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. So here is the exhortation to Sardis, kind of fivefold here. He admonishes them to be watchful, stay awake, pay attention. They weren't listening to what God was saying, and maybe they came into church and left unchanged. I don't know. It's hard to talk to dead people, or if the pastor's not teaching the word, he's the problem. And so Jesus says, wake up. Pay attention to the things of God. Secondly, they were to strengthen the things which remain, because they had a little life that remained, but it was getting ready to go out. It was about to die. Strengthen it. Fan those embers so they can burst into a flame. Rekindle that fire. They were to, third thing, they were to remember what they had received and heard, where they had came from. Go back to the beginning. What happened when you were on fire for the Lord? Do those things. Don't dwell on the past. Live in the present. Get right with God. The fourth point is hold fast. Get back into the Word of God. Hold on to the truths of God. Because again, like I said, the Word of God is living, powerful, and it can change, transform our lives as the Holy Spirit's working on us. The fifth point is to repent. Have a change of mind that will lead to a change in your behavior. It's not just saying I'm sorry and then, you know, doing the same things over and over and over again. You agree with God that it's sin. You're going to change by the power of the Holy Spirit working in you. And the warning is simple. If you refuse to obey the Lord, he's going to judge you. And again, I think he's talking to those that don't have a relationship with him. There's people within the church that were not saved. There were some that were. He's talking, I think, about here when he says, I will come upon you as a thief and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. He's talking about the rapture. And there's many Protestant churches today that don't believe in the rapture of the church. Some are the Kingdom Now theology, which says we are going to prepare the earth for the Lord to come back. It's going to become a Christian world. You know, when Donald Trump came into office, the Kingdom Now theology people were very excited. This is it. Now we're taking control of Washington, D.C. The kingdom's coming. It didn't work out that way, did it? But that's what they believed. No, the Lord is going to establish his kingdom. We're not. We're not going to make this world a Christian world. In fact, look at it now. Look at the things that are going on. And we're told in the scriptures, things are going to get darker and darker before Jesus pierces the darkness with his light. So it's time for us to wake up. And here's the thing that I find interesting. Jesus never comes to his church, his true church, as a thief. He comes as a bridegroom. I like that. He only comes to the dead, the apostate church, as a thief. And that's who he's addressing in this to this church in Sardis, those who are spiritually dead. Not saying that there weren't saved people there, but these are religious unbelievers. Remember what I told you about Cyrus and the Persians invading Sardis. They did so under the cover of night. They climbed up to the top of the 1,500-foot hill, reaching the plateau and the city. No resistance because there was no one guarding the city. Complacency, lethargy allowed the Persian army to walk right in. Their invasion came like a thief in the night before anyone had time to put on his shoes. Wow. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Be on guard. Be looking. He's coming back. I truly believe that if you're walking with the Lord, there's joy in your heart in your anticipation for his return. Looking for the blessed hope, glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. That's exciting. I grieve over what I see in this world. I grieve at those that have hardened their hearts to God. It breaks my heart. I want to see them come to Christ, but I'm also excited because I know the Lord's coming back. And for this church, these people who refuse to repent, to get right with God, to come to that saving faith, like the church of Thyatira, they will go into the tribulation period. They will not be raptured because they're not saved. So this church is in existence in these last days. Well, look at verse 4. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. The name Sardis, remnant, there were those even in Sardis that were true believers in Jesus and lived accordingly. You see, applying the blood of Christ to our lives saves us. And we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. And outside of Christ, we have our righteousness. And the Bible says that they're like filthy rags before a holy God. Now, we don't like to think of it that way, but that's what God said in Isaiah. All our good works, all our righteousness is like filthy rags before him. Well, how could I stand before God? By the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing me from all my sins. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You see, he's taken our sin and he's given to us his righteousness. That's why we have access to the Father. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. And our garments are as white as snow. One historian gives us this insight. He said, Protestantism has produced some great men. And I will mention some, although I am going to leave out a great many. I think of the Reformation leaders. Martin Luther, John Calvin stand out, head and shoulders above all others. Of course, there was John Knox, a great man of God who did so much for Scotland. Later on, there was John Bunyan, the great Baptist who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, which tells of his own life and how God marvelously saved him. John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist Church. God marvelously saved that man and used him in such a way that he is given credit by historians for saving England from the revolution which destroyed France and prevented it from ever becoming a first-rate nation again. Wesley has been called the greatest Englishman of all. He certainly did more for that country than any other Englishman who's ever lived. Then there was a man like John Moffat, the Scotchman, who went to Africa, and David Livingstone, who first opened up that continent. William Carey went to India and later was followed by a sickly young man by the name of Henry Martin. Finally, I always like to include Titus Cone, who led the greatest revival since Pentecost on the Hawaiian Islands. Protestantism has had some names who didn't defile themselves and were true to the Word of God. There are quite a few such men living today, but I wouldn't dare to begin to name them because of that fact that I would be apt to leave some out who ought to be included. Protestantism has certainly produced some great men of God. Romanism did the same thing, even during the Dark Ages, but that does not mean to commend the system. The system of Romanism is the system of Protestantism, as they are revealed in the great denominations which have departed from the faith. To me, are the organizations which will eventually bring in the apostate church, because they have departed from the great tenets and doctrines of the Christian faith. Absolutely. And Jesus gives a promise to those who overcome, that they're going to walk with Jesus because their garments are clean. Their names are written in the book of life. And Jesus is going to confess their names before the Father. Now, the book of life, what is that about? Well, in the ancient world, a king kept a register of citizens. And when a man would commit a crime against the state or when he died, his name would be removed or blotted from the register. I believe that every person's name is written in the book of life. Every single person on this planet has the same chance of entering into the kingdom of God. No one's refused as long as they are wearing white garments obtained through Jesus Christ. And if you try to enter any other way or dressed in any other garment than the white robes of righteousness that Christ gives to us, then you're going to be rejected from entering in. Your name's going to be blotted out from the book of life or erased from the book of life. In Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 2, the parable of the marriage feast, listen to what we're told. Jesus said this: the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited, See, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding." So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." Here's the thing. Some would say, "Well, this man, maybe he couldn't afford the garments, so that's not fair." No, the king would provided the garments. He refused to wear them. He refused to put them on. That's why. And if you refuse to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ, you're not going to enter in. Your name is not in the book of life. But if you have, your name's are in the book of life. In fact, Kenneth West put it as this. He said, "Your names have been written in heaven and are on a permanent record there." Praise God. I'm glad he didn't use, disappearing ink. It stays there. It's on. You've come to saving faith. Your name's written in the book of life. What joy that is. Let's finish up. Look at verse 6. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." This church had a name, right? Was powerful in their past actions, their past accomplishments. Jesus is saying to them, "Wake up. Listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. Repent of your sins, because he's coming back." We need to be transformed by the power of God, and that's only going to happen as we read the Word of God and allow the Spirit of God to work on our hearts and our lives and change us. If we think we've already attained, we're in trouble. There's a lot of pride there that God will deal with. But give your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service, or worship. Spiritual worship. Do not conform to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let him transform your lives. Don't be conformed to this world, because this world is doing that. And like I said, the Protestant Reformation was badly, badly needed, but I don't think it went far enough and it fizzled out. Something that was born of God and had light and life became dark and dead as the church became formal, ritualistic, worldly. And it's not enough to say, remember the good old days. Oh, remember the good old days when... No. What is God doing today? There's nothing wrong with reminiscing. Hey, look at what God did here. But what is he doing now is important too. God should be working. Let me just share this with you as I close. Because this work started out so well, and it ended so lifeless. We're told this about a life-saving station. Some of you may have heard this. "On a dangerous seacoast where shipwrecks often occur, there was once a crude little life-saving station. The building was just a hut, and there was only one boat, but the few devoted members kept a constant watch over the sea. With no thought for themselves, they went out day and night, tirelessly searching for the lost. Some of those who were saved and various others in the surrounding area wanted to become associated with the station and give of their time and money and effort for the support of its work. New boats were bought and new crews were trained. The life-saving station grew. Some of the members of the life-saving station were unhappy that the building was so crude and poorly equipped. They felt that a more comfortable place should be provided as the first refuge of those saved from the sea. They replaced the emergency cots with beds and put better furniture in the enlarged building. Now the life-saving station became a popular gathering place for its members, and they decorated it beautifully and furnished it exquisitely because they used it now as sort of a club. Fewer members were now interested in going to sea on life-saving missions, so they hired lifeboat crews to do the work. The life-saving motif still prevailed in this club's decoration, and there was a liturgical lifeboat in the room where the club initiations were held. About this time, a large ship was wrecked off the coast, and the hired crews brought in the boatloads of cold, wet, and half-drowned people. They were dirty and sick, and some of them had black skin, and some had yellow skin. The beautiful new club was in chaos. So the property committee immediately had a shower house built outside the club where victims of shipwreck could be cleaned up before coming inside. At the next meeting, there was a split in the club membership. Most of the members wanted to stop the club's life-saving activities as being unpleasant and a hindrance to the normal social life of the club. Some members insisted upon life-saving as their primary purpose and pointed out that they were still called a life-saving station. But they were finally voted down and told that if they wanted to save lives of all those various kinds of people who were shipwrecked in those waters, they could begin their own life-saving station down the coast. So they did. As the years went by, the new station experienced the same changes that had occurred in the old. It evolved into a club, and yet another life-saving station was founded. History continued to repeat itself, and if you visit the seacoast today, you will find a number of exclusive clubs along that shore. Shipwrecks are frequent in those waters, but most of the people drown. May that never be the case here at Calvary. I don't care how people come into this church. I don't care what they're wearing. I don't care how they look. I don't care how dirty they are. We've had drunks come into the church. I don't care. Because we're here to bring the Word of God, to bring them to Jesus. I'm not here to clean them up. God takes care of that. Because I'm not the Holy Spirit. Because if I was the Holy Spirit, or acting as the Holy Spirit, I'd have to follow you guys around all the time. Oh, no, dear, don't do that. Oh, no, don't do that. Don't do that. No, you better not do that. I'm watching you. Are you kidding me? I couldn't even do it. My mission is to present to you the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit work on each of our hearts, mine included, to transform me. And our work is not here. Our work is outside those doors with the people of this world. I don't care what they look like. I don't care what organization they belong to. I don't care what their lifestyle is like. I don't care if they're in drugs, alcohol. I don't care. They need Jesus just like I did, just like you did. Are we going to be a club? Are we going to be a living organism that is guided by God, who is the head of the church, and go out into the world and bring the gospel message to the lost? That's what we need to do, guys. We need to keep pressing on. Because one of the things I've been learning over the last year, whatever, is that we could get so focused on all these things that are going on in this world that we forget our mission is the lost. These things are going to happen. We know it because the Bible tells us we're coming to a one world government. We're coming to a one world religious system. That's what's going to happen. And there's nothing wrong with learning about this stuff. But never, never, never forget the mission. We're not a club. Our mission is to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And if we don't do that, then we're dead. Then we're just a club. We need to go out there. You know, they've got that horrible fest coming up, what's it called, in October. What is it? Windigo. What a great time to witness. We did that a couple years ago when it was here. We gave out gospel tracts. We shared with the people. What a great time. Just go out and walk and talking with people. And what we noticed then is that all these people that were all dressed in these wicked costumes were very sad. You think you're going to a party, but they weren't. They were very sad. They looked depressed. I'm thinking, you need Jesus, man, because he's the one who can transform your lives. Let's look for opportunities to bring the gospel message to the lost. Be on fire for the Lord and let people come and watch you burn. What do I mean by that? Have you ever seen a place on fire? What happens? Everyone gathers around to watch. If you are on fire for Jesus, you are burning for him, people are going to wonder, what's up with you? They're going to watch you. And you get to share with them what God has done. Let's not become cold, lifeless, dead. Let's be open to the Spirit of God and see what he wants to do in us and through us as we live in this world and we serve him. Let's pray. Father, what a lesson for me and maybe for the people here, those listening on the radio, the internet, that it's so easy to get so ritualistic and leave you out, leave your spirit out. Lord, help us never to do that. Help us to always be open to what you want us to do and to keep our eyes on the lost and minister to them the good news of Jesus Christ. We love you so much, and you always are guiding us and warning us, correcting us, loving us. They're giving us peace. There's so much you do in our lives, and we just need to walk by faith and trust in you and see what you're going to do in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.